She was up there ready to press that button. Well, thank the Lord. I'm doing a short series, as I said last week, a short series on being thankful. And as I was preparing for this message, I got to reading a passage of Scripture showing up here. So this is part two of the series. And as you can guess, next week will be part three, because we're going to have Thanksgiving after that. So anyway, I'm doing just a short series and just to kind of explore this idea, or it's more than an idea really, but the action of being thankful. And that's one of the reasons we sang this song tonight, is because we have so many things to be thankful for, but oftentimes we're not. We tend to take, well, I do, I don't know about you, but I tend to take things for granted. I remember my cars back, I had some old cars. I have a tendency, I will run the wheels off of a car before I'll buy a new one. I just can't see myself buying a new one until that one's gone, the usefulness is gone. Well, once you put a certain amount of money in, well, then it's gone, you know. And so finally my car gave up on me. We ended up buying a new one. But you know what? I'm so thankful that the Lord allows me. He helps me to do these things. And so I'm thankful for not only my material possessions, but my job that I can provide for my family and things like that. So many things I could go over tonight. But then I got to looking at this passage of Scripture, and I thought, well, maybe I'll do it kind of like in reverse. So since Thanksgiving is coming up, I wanted to explore this idea of being an action of being thankful, you know, showing gratitude. And I said this last week, and I'll say it again. If there was a way that you could measure the thankfulness or the gratitude of this congregation by itself, okay, if there was like a thermometer you could put in and check it out, where would we fall as a congregation? Would we be up on the high scale or down on the low scale, or would we be lukewarm? You know, where on our thankfulness scale would we be? And I know it's not just a church body, but it's oftentimes a individual. Okay, so individually we need to be thankful for what we have. So gratitude to the Lord, gratitude to God for all the amazing things He's done. And so, like I said, tonight I'm going to take kind of a reverse approach, and you'll see here in just a minute. So the opposite, okay, of being righteous is what? Unrighteous. The opposite of being godly is what? Ungodly. Okay, so the opposite of being thankful is unthankful. So now we're going to get into the meat of it. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. There's all those opposites of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we'll pause right there for a moment. So the wrath of God is revealed. So we know God gets angry, and we know God punishes. And so we look at this scripture and we find out, well, what is He angry about? So it says is the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, okay? Who hold the truth. The truth would be the gospel. The truth would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's some people who will purposely and with all of their might hold down the truth of the gospel just so you will not come to believe. And they do this in their unrighteousness. And so God is angry, and they are being punished. Future? Yes. Today? Yes, he's going to punish them because of what they're doing. And you'll see where I'm leading up to here in just a moment. But the fact is, the wrath of God is now being revealed from heaven And against all these men, ungodly and unrighteous men, and they're holding down the truth, they're preventing the truth, or they're withholding the truth, however you want to word it, that's what they're doing. And so if we go to verse 19, he says this, because, Paul's given a reason, because that which may be known of God is manifest, which means revealed, is manifest in them. So in other words, God has revealed what is known of him in them, for God has showed it to them. Now that's interesting. God has showed you, me, and all these people way back when about what God is like and other things. And we're going to get to those other things. But the point is, what I wanted to point out to you is that God has revealed himself. And some people ask me sometimes to prove there's a God. Have you ever got that question? Prove to me there's a God. I'll say, I won't even try to do something God can't do. Because God has already proven he's God. And this is the scripture, by the way. He showed it to them. And they still didn't believe. And so no matter what I can say, even if I could wax so eloquent and be very good at persuading somebody, I still can't prove what God has not been able to do. Now, why do I say that? Let's go to verse 20. For the invisible things of him, of who? God. From the creation of the world, so that's the action. So he's created the world, but the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. In other words, God's creation has revealed these invisible things, these qualities of God through creation, and they're clearly seen even though they're invisible. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't. Being understood by the things that are made, in other words, I look at a flower, I look at a bee. Did you know the bumblebee is supposedly not supposed to be able to fly? They have such an odd shape, and the weight ratio compared to their wings, they're not supposed to be able to fly. But they do. And my sister's allergic to them. Thank God I'm not. I'm allergic to yellow jackets, or was. I don't know. I've gotten stung a couple of times. But if a bumblebee can put her in the hospital, but they're not supposed to even be able to fly, but they do. So the creation of the world is showing us things about God, the invisible things, but yet they're clearly seen if we simply look at creation. Even his eternal power and Godhead, the fact that God had this power to create heaven and earth, and even the atomic level, okay? We were fearfully and wonderfully made, okay? So keep that in mind. Even his eternal power and his Godhead, the fact that he is God, he's head over all of this, and he says, so that they are without an excuse. We are without an excuse. If we turn away from God, after looking at the creation of all the universe, the stars, oh my, even with the Hubble telescope and all the other equipment that they have, we can look far, far, far out into the galaxies. And hey, folks, we're just probably getting the tip of the iceberg. God is, they say, and I don't know how they know, but the fact is, they say the universe is still expanding, which means God is still creation, is still creating. He's still creating. And stars are being formed, and all kinds of things are still happening. But then they're discovering things, like I said, at the atomic level. If I could zoom in, which I can't, but if I could zoom in down to the atoms of what's inside my skin, and further and further, and just keep zooming in until I reach like one particular atom, you will see that there's a rotation of electrons flowing around a proton moving about, okay? And if you mix certain atoms together, you get certain things. So we all know probably what H2O is, right? What is H2O? Water. It's the H2 is two, what do you call it? Is it two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, and you get water. Okay, that's what that means. The H2O is two parts hydrogen, one part water, or oxygen, and you get water. So these kinds of things we can look at, and we can see that, hey, this could not have happened by accident. None of this could have happened by accident. I know, people want to say it did, but it didn't. It didn't happen by accident. We didn't crawl up out of a swamp. In fact, one of the commentaries and preachers that I was reading, he says, if you take a look around and look closely at human race, he says, we're not evolving. He said, in fact, we're getting worse. We're going downward, not going upward. Okay? They always show you pictures of the caveman like this, you know, and then now he's like this, and then eventually he's standing up straight. That's a bunch of hogwash. Because we have never gone from lower form of life to a higher form of life. All through the centuries, we've been getting worse and worse and worse, and not wanting to acknowledge God. And I'm thankful for the revivals and for the things that happen that cause people to believe in God and to turn their heart to Him. But I want to show you this one verse. Let's see, what is that one? That's 20. Verse 20. So we know that God has created this marvelous universe and galaxies upon galaxies that are such beyond our reach. But I want you to look at, I think I put it in there, dear, Psalms 19 and 1. Okay, it's a psalm of David. It says, the heavens, what heavens? He's talking about outer space. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Verse 2. Day unto day, in other words, every day, they utter speech. Okay? His creation. It displays and talks about just being there, the glory of God. And night unto night, it shows knowledge. It shows that God is the creator. And until we acknowledge that, we will never come to a good knowledge of God. And so now it brings me to the scripture that I was actually aiming toward. Remember I told you I was going to approach this from an opposite kind of thing? Let's look at back to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. So all that we saw that God was revealing and the wrath that he's going to pour out on people who don't acknowledge him as God, he says, because that when they knew God, when they knew God. See, I think deep down people really know creation is the way things happen. I think deep down that really they really know that. But they glorified him not as God. But look at this. Right in the middle of all of this, neither were thankful. Now, to me, that sounds out of place. But it isn't. Because the Lord has taken the time and the effort to show you, all of us, that He's God through His creation. But we don't want to acknowledge. A lot of us don't want to acknowledge Him as God. We don't want to be accountable to a God. And therefore, if we're not going to glorify Him as God, we're not going to thank Him. Isn't it interesting how being thankful is part of glorifying God? by being thankful. So that's why we sang the song we did tonight. We're thankful for even all the little things that God has done for us. But here, they were not thankful. And because of that, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, simply by being unthankful. So the opposite of being thankful for what you have is to be unthankful that God even exists, because they didn't glorify him as God, even though it says in Scripture when they knew God, they didn't glorify him. What'd they do? They made idols. They made idols, and they worshiped things that was made from men's hands, and they'd pray to those things. And by the way, they still do that today. But they weren't thankful. And so that's the opposite as from this season that we're getting ready to enter in. So I want to tell you and explain to you that being unthankful is a very bad sin toward God, okay? And I'm going to show you how bad it is in just a moment. But simply being unthankful is a terrible sin. I actually heard one commentator said it's probably one of the worst sins that you could have toward God was to be unthankful. Now, I don't know about that. Perhaps it is, but it certainly ranks right up there very high. And I'll show you that in just a moment. So ingratitude is one of the worst sins. At least that's how he thought about it. If you think back, do you recall in the Gospels, I don't know which one specifically, but there were 10 lepers, okay? And they came and they saw Jesus, and from afar off they cried out unto Jesus to heal them, 10 of them. And what did he say? He said, go show yourself to the priests. And they did. They took off and they were going down the road. I don't know how far they got. It's always one of those things I'd like to be a fly or a bug on the limb and just look and see what's going on for real. But how far did they get before they realized they were cleansed? And then one person realized he was cleansed. Maybe they all did. And he turned around and he went back, and he went to thank Jesus. But what did Jesus say? Where are the other 9? Weren't they cleansed also? So, yes, they were. They were cleansed. But only 1 out of 10, 10%, came back to thank God. And the Scripture goes so far as to tell us he was a Samaritan. That means that would have been unexpected for a Samaritan to come back and thank Jesus. But he did. The rest of them, I don't know what they were. Samaritans, Jews, I don't know. But typically, if you had leprosy, you were kind of in a colony, so to speak. You kind of moved around in groups. And if you came near anyone, you had to cover your face and you had to yell out that you were unclean. But when they did this to Jesus, and they were cleansed, because Jesus didn't touch them. He just told them to go show yourself to the priest. Because what were they going to do that for? Well, if you got cleansed of leprosy, he had to declare you as being clean. I don't know if you knew that. He had to declare you. So he would examine you, and you would say, hey, I had leprosy, but I don't have it anymore. And he would literally look over your entire body, and he would declare you clean, and you would offer a particular sacrifice. Usually it was a pigeon or some kind of turtle dove or something if you were poor, but you would offer up a sacrifice as per the law of Moses. But that's where they were headed. So Jesus basically did this. He says, okay, you want to be healed from leprosy? Head on to the priest, and when you get there, go ahead and do your thing, the cleansing, the offering, and all that stuff. But one man out of the 10 saw that he was completely healed, and it makes me wonder how bad off he was. Did you know a lot of people who had leprosy back in that time? They couldn't feel, okay? They would wear off their nubs of their toes even because they couldn't feel when they would you know, stub their toe or cut it or do whatever. And a lot of times they were down to nothing. I mean, that's how bad it was, folks. It was down to nothing. And fingers, too. Sometimes they'd wear off their fingers. They'd put it in the fire and not realize how hot it is and, you know, burn off some fingers. And they'd lose things like that. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But one man comes back to give thanks to the Lord, and the Lord asks, where are the other nine? So that's very important. Now, what was I going to say about the about how bad of a sin of ingratitude is? Well, let's explore this verse. 2 Timothy 3:1. And we've heard this, I think we even heard it today, possibly. Paul's talking to Timothy. Timothy's a young preacher, and Paul's talking to him, and he said, and this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We know that, okay, in the last days. And we're living in the last days. Verse 2. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. My goodness, we see that. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Man, he's really covering a lot of ground here. Disobedient to parents. Kids need to know that one. Kids need to know that one, that's definitely makes the Lord angry. And look at this. Unthankful. Right beside unholy. Folks, as you go through this season, count your blessings. Thank God for what you do have. Thank God for what you don't have. If you are blessed to the point you don't have cancer, you don't have this problem going on, you're not suffering like this person is over here. You mentioned somebody's had several surgeries already, and I'm like, wow, I'm thankful that's not me. And I'm praying for that person. I am. But I'm just thankful that I don't have to go through that. That's a painful experience. And a lot of us have to go through things in life. That's just a given. We go through things. But we can show gratitude toward the Lord for all kinds of reasons, not just because He created the earth and showed us Himself. He revealed His character, His Godhead, His eternal qualities and things like that. But the fact that He has put you where you are today. I am so grateful that I was born in America, folks. I look at pictures in Africa, and there's a lot of starving children in places in Africa, and my heart just breaks. You realize that's one of the reasons they show you pictures on TV when they ask for money, is they want to break your heart, and it breaks my heart to see those pictures. It breaks my heart even when... what's the name of the group? The ASCPA, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, what she said. For the animals. And they show them out there and how a lot of them are left alone, freezing out. And I won't call out the name, but I was asked to take care of a neighbor's animal. And it was snowy, it was wintry, and that dog, I don't think it had much intelligence, I truly don't, but I went there, and there was snow on the ground, and I noticed the dog's bed lining was on the ground, so I cleaned it off real good, you know, and I put it in there. I even went back to my house, and we found an old bed covering to add more to it because it was cold outside, and I put it in there and I fed him, and as I was trying to feed him, he was biting my foot. Okay, he wasn't hurting me, but he was really gripping it. He was not being thankful. But so finally, you know, I figured out how far his leash would come, and I kind of sat maybe that far from as far as he could come at me. And I just sat there. And I mean, he'd come up to me, he'd bark and growl and whatnot. But because I fed him, I think he might have got some little gratitude. But anyway, he finally just sat down, so I scooted over like this, just eased over as much as I could, and I finally reached over to where I could pet him. So I petted this dog. And I think this dog was simply, as the kids were growing up, they just left the dog alone. Okay, the dog was just, one of his favorite pastimes was simply to turn over a rock. We used to sit and watch him turn over a rock. He'd do it for hours, bark at it and just turn over. It was a rock maybe this size. Anyway, when I went back to feed the dog that evening, guess what? He was sleeping on the blanket that I had put in there for him, but he had already drug it out of the doghouse. I thought, come on, dog. Leave it in the house. Let's get out of the cold and let's get in there where it's warm and cover up with your blankets and everything. But I couldn't get him off of it. You know, he had snow all over and he's just shivering. And I was trying my best to get him back into his doghouse, and he just would not go. Would not go. Well, eventually the neighbors came back, but I think it was 2 weeks later, I found out the dog froze to death. And it broke my heart. Because just that little bit of trying to take care of him, you know, I understood what it's like for him to be suffering, but he did. He just wouldn't stay in his dog house that they had built for him. Even as warm as we tried to make it, he wouldn't stay there. He'd sleep outside in the snow, and he'd be shivering like crazy. And so I just thank God for little acts of kindness. And you might think, well, it's just an animal. Yeah, it's an animal. God created animals too. But the fact is, showing little acts of kindness to people, having gratitude for people created in God's image, gratitude for each and every one of you, that if I see a need and I can help, I would love to help. And all of that, I just want you to walk out of here thinking that, knowing that being unthankful is one of the worst sins you can do to God. God expects you to be thankful. Not because has a big ego. Well, those people on earth, they don't thank me at all. Well, that's not why. He does these things for you. My goodness, if he had an ego, would he send his only son to die on this earth for each and every one of us to be reconciled back to him? So we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot. And so to be unthankful is really not, should not even be part of this church, is to be unthankful. So what I'm trying to say is, when you walk out of here tonight, think of things that you are thankful for. Maybe it's things that you have, and like I said, maybe it's things you don't have. I'm thankful I don't have cancer. I've seen enough of that. I ain't saying I won't get it one day. I don't know. I don't have tomorrow promised to me. But the thing is, I'm thankful I don't have it now that I know of. And I would not want it. But I look for things to thank God for, because I don't want to break his heart by being unthankful. Almighty God, I just pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, that we will have a thankful and full heart for all the things that you're doing for us now, all the things that you've already done for us, and all the things that you're going to do for us in the future. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for a person like me. I didn't deserve anything, and yet he died for me. And he has given me the precious gift of salvation. And so, Lord, I accept that gift, and I'm grateful for it. And, Lord, I always want to be thankful for all the things that you do and for who you are. Even if you gave me nothing, Lord, and salvation alone is enough, I'm so thankful. And so, God, as we leave here tonight, Lord, impress upon our hearts to use this season to thank you and to have gratitude toward all that you have given us and all the things that the bad things that we don't have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.